Thank you, Steve. We're on? Yeah, okay, good. Good morning. What a blessing to have the worship team. That new song, Randy, thanks for that new song. I will build my life upon you. Your love is the firm foundation. What a great perspective about God's love and what he does. Great to hear Jesse's voice there as well. What a great day, Father's Day. It was 15 years ago today that Jen and I took our last trip to Columbia for a long time, we believe, to pick up the earthquake, which is Rachel. So, special day for us, always Father's Day. But the older I get, the more, the less dogmatic and secure I am in my fathering, and the more I'm like grateful for God's grace that my kids are still alive and, you know, that things are going on. So from that perspective, I want to share stories about my being a kid with my father. And also, I think it's just a sad state of affairs these days that we live in a broken world where there may be some here who've had a rough situation with your parents, with your dad or your mom. Maybe it's abandonment. Maybe it's some kind of abuse. Maybe even you yourself feel like you failed as a parent. My prayer is that today will be a time of encouragement for all of us because we're going to talk about our great Father who loves us. So, with that as a backdrop, it was hard, by the way, to find a backdrop that matched my shirt. How's this for a title? How's this for not working? That will be, No. Maybe the other, yeah, let's grab that one. We'll just trade, this guy for that guy. Thanks, sir. It's learning about that. So anyway, how's this for a perfect title? How to honor the perfect father. So don't worry, teens. I know you don't need to take great notes because we are recording this so you can look back and figure out how to honor your parents, the perfect parents. So that being said, meet Tom. Tom was born in 1926, May 8th, 1926, an only child to second generation immigrants, one from France and one from Ireland. One interesting thing for him, his mother was adopted herself, and he was an only child, and they lived in a small town called Little Falls, New York, moved to Oneida, and his dad was a signalman on the New York State Railroad. Immediately upon graduation, Tom and his high school buddies all went down to the recruiting center, 1944. The war was hot, and all of them enlisted in the Army. World War II was in full swing, and so after basic training, Tom learned how to be a cartographer for the Army Air Force. He was stationed in Guam for over 12 months, and he took pictures from the sky of the enemy territory in that area. After the war, Tom took advantage of the GI Bill, where he moved to the big city of Rochester, New York. He studied mechanical engineering at Mechanics Institute, which is now RIT. He did well. That is, until he got distracted by a certain woman named Eileen. And she was a teenage young lady, and she liked him a lot. He liked her. Parents were very strict, and he didn't know the Lord. So she invited him to Youth for Christ meetings. And there at Youth for Christ meeting, he wanted to get to know her, so he came along. And eventually, she introduced him to Jesus Christ. I'm told that this man never showed emotion except when he talked about his time when he came to Christ. Of course, they dated and were married on May 21st, 5 days after she turned 20. Again, strict parent. So they turned 20 and had a wonderful marriage after their short courtship. And then again on July 28th, 1950, their first was born. And then another. And then another. And then another. And so finally I'm the one in my ear. So fitfully, I don't know. So that is the Miles family. Let me assure you that my dad was not perfect. And so I guess I'm not off the hook to talk about the perfect way to honor the perfect dad. But let's take a minute and think for a minute. As we've been studying John, I've been taking some rabbit trails, and sometimes they lead to fruitful things. I was thinking about all those ways that Jesus was saying, I am. Like, I am the good shepherd, I am the door, I am the bread of life. And each time as he's been talking about his relationship to people, he does it in relationship to his Father. And so I was thinking about what are some qualities that Jesus appreciated in his Father. So this is the audience participation. You can write it down on your piece of paper. If you have the handout, that'd be awesome. What are some traits of a good father? You can think about them. If anyone wants to be brave and shout them out, you can, but you can just write them down. Think about that for a minute. Traits of a good father. What are traits of a good father? There's a lot we could shout out, we could think about, but no one's brave, that's okay. You didn't think there's work. Loving, awesome. Patient, excellent. Anything else? Good. Gentle. Yeah. Understanding. Spending time with your children. Excellent. Protecting. Awesome. A lot of good traits in a father. And these days, it's good for us to think about those good traits of a father. I came with three that I wanted to share of those. Love or loving. A role model to his family. And third, that they are shepherd. That perspective that they guide, they provide, they protect. Those are some great qualities of a good father. And So we're going to talk about those. I was blessed. I came from a great godly heritage. And first of all, when you talk about loving, there was never a doubt in my mind or anyone's mind that my dad loved my mom. In fact, late into life, they were still very physically affectionate. I'm not talking, you know, kiss. I'm talking, sometimes you felt like the third wheel. It's like, can I go to my room? Or, you know, it was just, they loved each other. It was very clear. It was very clear. That's awesome. They expressed physical love. And they extended to each of us, each of the kids. And they provided this, I called it like an enabling environment. It's a bad word to use, enabling now, but it was an enabling environment where today's challenges were bandaged up, the failures were forgiven, and when you felt washed up, you got cleaned up, and you got ready to take on the next day. That's the environment they had for us, this loving environment. It was really encouraging for me. So, as we see from John, how God loved Jesus. In fact, if we look at all the Gospels, I love how Luke says it. If you want to know if God loved the Son, a voice came from heaven when Jesus was baptized. People heard this voice, and he said, you are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. Talk about encouragement. Talk about a dad who loves his Son. Jesus had the love of the Father throughout his life. And there's different times we could think about those. Jesus expressed that love. He said in John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. That's that perspective that is Pam shared about, like, just investing time with your kid and bring him along as you're doing life. And God the Father, throughout his life, throughout Jesus' life on earth, he showed how the Father loved him. It was great to see that. A second characteristic is a role model. And you can think of all different ways that your father or you as a father can be a role model. For us, all these words were very much there. My dad was very creative. My grandparents never owned a house. They always lived in an apartment. They were just scraping by with their one son they had. My dad provided a house for us in the city. And then in 1968, we moved out to a brand new house in Blackwell Lane in Henrietta. And my dad was the quiet sort. He would be around and then he wouldn't. He'd be missing. So if my dad was missing, he's either one of two places. He was either at church, Congress Avenue, where they went to church. It was old and broke down a lot. And my dad was the guy fixing the doors and the windows and things. He's always there. Didn't know where he was. He was, at the hardware store there fixing things. Or he was in the garden, tinkering, as we would say. In fact, on the day my sister got married, they were getting late. They had to get to the wedding, and they didn't know where my dad was. Well, sure enough, he popped up. They saw his head pop up. In his full suit, he had been in the garden on his knees that morning, right before he walked my sister down the aisle. So that was my dad. I mean, he was just very fun that way. He was inventive. This is before Uncle Google or Cousin Google. He would research stuff. He'd go to the library, he'd go up places, and he would design and study and plan, and then he'd do. He'd make stuff. I remember the day we opened up our wall and he put a fireplace in. It was amazing. And he could fix anything. And that's what really was a great basis for my relationship with him. He could fix anything and I could break just about anything. True, one week when I was in college, I broke three family cars. Larry can attest to it. It was late at night on Brighton Henry Town Line Road. I remember the location. And, of course, I didn't have a phone, so I had to find someone to tell my dad. And so he called, and he came to me, and we fixed, of course, the alternator in the middle of the cold. Fun thing to do. And as he finished, he said, "Rick, would you ever consider riding a bicycle?" So that was my dad. He was, just that way. Very hardworking, very inventive. I share none of those qualities. It's amazing how he was. But we think about how Jesus responded to his father. And how his father, he said, "My father is working until now, and I myself am working. In other words, throughout the beginning of time, God the Father has been pouring love and creativity and resources and forgiveness and freedom into this world. In fact, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. What that says is, God the Father is working from the beginning of time, and Jesus the Son was working right alongside him. God has been hardworking in this world. Because if he wasn't, we'd be really in trouble. Without God's presence in this world, as Bill shared a little bit, what the future could hold without God, it is scary. I did nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. So there we have the perspective of Jesus responding to the Father, watching him and learning from him, and being able to work. What a great role model for love that the Father had for the Son. He had a special responsibility for him. A third aspect of a father is that shepherding aspect. And hard to capture all those things. I like to talk about the working, the providing, the guiding, the protecting. And, each of us siblings have our own stories about how my father's gentle but godly influence affected us and that grace giving we needed at those times. For me personally, I was the youngest and I wanted to go into youth ministry. I wanted to just go out of college or go to high school and just keep working with young people. Larry and Bob and I were involved in campus life and really loved it. It was really fun. It was good stuff. And I wanted to do that. But I had a proficiency for math, not like somebody here, but for computers and for programming. And he just guided my steps, you know. And he helped me in a way that he said, "Now listen, as you're going to college, we're going to support you and we're going to provide for you. And we're going to help you, but we're also going to have the house open so you can continue to do this ministry thing, and we're going to support you in that." And so these pictures really mean a lot to me because, I was the first in the family to get a bachelor's degree, really the first time I go to this kind of college and get a degree like this. It was a big deal for me. It was a stretch. It was peanut butter and jelly. We didn't have the standard things you use now, ramen noodles. But we did have things like that, whatever it took. And my parents were very sacrificial in getting me to college. And it was just awesome. Through their sacrifice, I was able to make my bachelor's and master's at RIT, while at the same time, they gave up their house. And they let us use it for broken windows and broken chairs and broken things. You know, teenagers break stuff. And that was just, they put up with that. What about Jesus' relationship with his father? How do we see that? About how God the Father guided and provided and protected him. We just read this section a few weeks ago about when Jesus was doing the Last Supper. And he left the Last Supper. And this verses really share a lot. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God, and was going back to God, got up from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself. And what did he do? He showed this amazing example by washing the disciples' feet. God the Father had already given him plans. God the Father had already guided him to this very important step that he was going to take. And he knew his times were in his Father's hands. God provided for him. He protected him. He guarded him. And Jesus said in John 6, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." And there is a perspective of God's protection from God the Father, God the Son. In fact, I love this verse, for it's a great one for us fathers. What man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or is it one who asks for fish, who will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? That is Jesus knowing how his Father provides and guides and protects. That is him working in us. Now that's all good. We talk about the ways that God's a good Father. God's the perfect Father. But what about my situation? As you shared earlier, it is a broken world we live in. Many do not have a good situation at home. There's abuse, physical, sexual, verbal. There's abandonment. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 24 million American children live without their biological father in their home. That's one in three kids, one-third of kids. According to the National Father Initiative, those kids have four times the risk of poverty when compared to homes where fathers remain. They're more likely to have behavioral problems. They're more likely to drop out of school. Bottom line is, they suffer. They suffer because of these poor situations. And I want to show grace and understanding that. And we have to admit one thing, though, all of us. And that is, none of us have perfect home situations. We live in a broken world, and each of us are sinners. And so trying to be a perfect parent, we fail. Trying to respond to parents who've been imperfect, it's hard. Our parents have been selfish at times. We've all made mistakes. We've all had sins. And it's so hard when the sins of a parent visit down to have an adverse effect on the kids. There is hope. There is good news. And that is this. We all do have a Father who loves us more than we can know. That's what the Bible really is. It's God's love letter reminding us throughout history, God has tried to find a way to let us know about his love for us. And in a broken world that we ourselves have to take responsibility for, God has found ways to show grace to us throughout our lives. God the Father is the perfect Father, and he's proven his love for us over and over again. While we are stuck in our selfish, broken little world, our broken little work of our own doing, Jesus died. Jesus gave up his life for us. So with God as our Father, there is hope for our families. There is hope for what God can do today. Today is the first day, right? So, back to my question. What are ways we can honor the perfect Father? Well, now we're talking about how do you and I honor God? How do we, you and I, show honor to God? We could ask that question, and you could write that down, probably discuss a little bit in small group, but each of us did not come from a family where our fathers were perfect. I told you about the Klutz chocolate syrup story a few weeks ago. But God the Father loves us, and we can learn from the ways that Jesus honored his Father. I thought of three aspects: devotion, imitation, and obedience. So, devotion. You honor the perfect dad by devotion. Here's a really simple principle. What I value, I invest in. You think about that in your life. What I value, I put my time to, my passion, my energy, my money. What I value, that's what I do. And so devotion's a good word. I relate this to my relationship with my dad, being devoted to him. This is my all-time favorite pic of my dad and I. It's in my office, my home, my office at work. It gives me great encouragement. It reminds me how we are different. We were very different, and yet my home was a haven. He was so practical, so frugal, quiet, gentle, strength. He fixed things. He hardly spoke, but when he did, we listened. Me, on the other hand, I speak too much. I've struggled like my mom with saving money. And, well, I kind of missed that fix-it gene. But I remember those cold days when we'd be outside fixing the car and he'd say, me the racket wrench, and ratchet, what is it? I don't remember. You know, and I try to find it. And just growing and understanding with him and just appreciating that he was out there dealing with me and getting in the car. We enjoyed some crazy food inventions. Back when microwaves first came out, before Orville Redenbacher had the solution for popcorn, my dad and I kind of took it upon ourselves to find a way to make popcorn in the microwave. Anyone that remembers those early days? So I got to tell you, it just ended up in big messes. I mean, there was butter all over the place, broken. We just tried everything we could try, and it was a mess. But it was fun, and we learned from it. We'd have butter splatter, melted bags, plastic, burned napkins. We tried everything. But I noticed in this picture, it's just a classic picture. He was working on dinner. It was actually a few of us went up into Adirondacks and there, and he was making dinner for us, of course. And what am I doing? I'm telling a story. I'm telling a yarn. The stick had fire in it. I was probably poking it with fire and stuff and having fun. But that was me and that was him. I mean, I was always dreaming. He was always fixing my dreams and helping me out. And so I love that. But I remember just how close the relationship was between he and I. And so we look at Jesus' relationship with the Father with devotion. John 6 and the similar passage in Matthew 14, 13, I'll read that second one. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Bottom line is, we can look through so many scripture verses and find a very common trait. That is, Jesus invested time. He intentionally spent time with his Father. We read in Luke, Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. So we call them devotions today. And I like that word because Jesus made a habit. He made a habit of spending time alone with his Father. He was intentional. He did it on purpose. And he was intent. How do you and I show devotion to God our Father? I think by being intentional, by going up privately, and then making it a habit. Those are really good perspectives about showing time, responding to our great, perfect Father. Second way is imitation. The best way for us, the best flattery is, of course, imitation, right? The second aspect is this imitation. I found a principle that we tend to reject or reflect what our parents did. Think about that. It's easy to think about the fact of when you look in the refrigerator and you see the mayonnaise or the peanut butter or whatever, the things that you took as a kid and you want to have in your own house. Those are easy things. But there is going to come a time for you as an adult where you're going to sit there and say, did I really just say that? Did I just respond in that same way? It's just crazy. I know exactly where I got that thinking from. I know exactly where that came from. We find ourselves reflecting the parent's perspective. Sometimes we say, I want to reject it. I want to go away from this thing and do something different. But Jesus was able to respond to his parents. I love this picture. This was an example of a family event. All of us sons came home for a July 4th weekend to complete a sunroom addition to our house. Again, my dad planned it all. He had some godly gray hairs there who knew how to help us hit the nail straight and things. And, it was a lot of work. Day and night, 3 or 4 days, we pounded that puppy out. And it was amazing when it was done. And still, to this day, it's an amazing memory for us. And we learned a lot about carpentry and life. These were adult sons coming home, and it was this really, really fun. How do we imitate God? As the Holy Spirit works in our lives, conforming us to the image of his Son. Well, what's our part in that? Jesus spoke of imitating his Father. He was in lockstep with his Father, always seeking to do his will. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. There is imitation. Jesus seeing the Father's work, the Father's showing of grace, and he shows grace. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. The Father will show him greater works also so that you will marvel. God had a purpose in showing his Son these things so that the world will marvel at who he is. Therefore, be imitators of God, we're told, each of us, as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. This is a great encouragement for us to do the same thing, to respond as Jesus did with his Father. A third aspect is obedience. I love Bill Gothard's definition a long time ago of dependability. He said, completing what I intended to do, even if it means personal sacrifice. That's a powerful, powerful definition. Completing what I committed to do, intended to do, even if it means personal sacrifice. And all of us here have probably learned the hard way that father knows best, that dad knows best. Sometimes it was the board of education or the belt of truth or what other punishment reinforced right behavior. I wasn't the perfect kid. But I had the advantage of a good seat to watch my siblings, and they would make dumb decisions. And I'd see them and I'd say, I'm never going to do that. But I had my own bad choices and was rewarded for those as well. I had my own dumb mistakes to make. But even as a young adult, I remember not liking, but still listening to my parents' counsel. I remember walking away and saying, I'm never going to do that. And then just having this conscience afterwards saying, jeepers, that kind of does make sense. You know, maybe time is on my side. Maybe I do need to pay attention to that. Maybe I'm being played by someone. Maybe this relationship isn't right for me. Maybe all those things that a parent can do. This is my father's retirement. He retired in May 62, when he was 62. And then this is, again, one of my pictures from that same time. It was my father and mother sitting there in the boat taking off, and he was, of course, giving me instructions as they took off because someone had to start making dinner. So I found friends to do it. No, I'm just kidding. I helped. But it was our favorite vacation spot. We really enjoyed it, and there were a lot of life lessons learned there. This was his retirement present and my kids. And I just enjoyed seeing them sailing off into retirement for their short time they were together. We think about obedience from Jesus' perspective to the Father. Jesus spoke of honoring his Father by obedience. He stated that this would speak volumes to us, to the world. So that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. That's like instant obedience. That's like, you say, I do. That's a great way to respond to a perfect father, to honor a perfect father. What he says, I will do. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. That's not just a command. That's a command with a promise. That's if you do these things, you're going to have these blessings of relationship, of being. There's nothing better, I found, than knowing I'm exactly where God wants me to be, doing what he wants me to be. Isn't that, you've seen that yourselves, right? Times you say, I'm supposed to be here, and I see it. Finally, John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Talk about a relationship. Talk about the unity that you have. And think about the joy, the blessing of being where God wants you to be. And the obedience to the Father. So, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about the attributes of the perfect Father, of a good Father. We talked about the fact that your individual mileage may vary. You may be in a situation where maybe, where maybe our situations weren't as good. We also thought about the fact that God has been a perfect Father, and three ways that we could respond by our devotion, by our obedience, and by imitating what he's done, loving people as he has loved them. So to make it practical from a perspective with us, I would encourage us, hopefully, as we looked at Jesus' relationship with the Father, it stirred up good memories for you of your childhood or your role as a parent. I know for me, it was really healing and encouraging for me to just have some great email and texting back with my siblings and just reconnecting on some of those things, retelling those stories. So a practical thing for us, what about Father's Day? What about for us as we are with fathers, as we are encouraging them? Three bits of advice from this guy. I read a great thing online, and I encourage you, it's good homework for the home group. When your dad isn't perfect and no earthly father is. It's a great little thing. I give a link to it in the back of the bulletin. Three things to do. Love your dad. Love your dad. Appreciate him for the things he got right. And by all means, forgive him for the things he got wrong. We all do, right? We all make mistakes. So forgive him. It's a hard thing to do, and that's so easy to say. And I know that for some people that is a journey, and you might be on that journey. But as God has forgiven you, what better gift to give back to someone to show that grace? Second, if your father is still alive, you are in this unique situation, right? Some of us are in that sandwich situation where you got aging parents and you got kiddos. We call that the sandwich, and you know, you're squeezed on both ends, and sometimes you feel like, help. Some of us have gone through the journey of saying goodbye to our parents. So I say to you, every day is a gift. Don't miss this opportunity today. If your father's alive, retell a good memory of him. Something he did that blesses you. That maybe you still call to mind. Maybe it's advice he gave, or maybe it's just something he did to bring you and protect you. I encourage you to write it down, because you might forget. So that's a really practical way. And finally, in deference to the fact that we have been through rough times, today is a new day, and you have baton in your hand. It's your opportunity. It's my opportunity to live the rest of this life in a way that honors our Father in heaven and honors those that he's called us to love, called us to serve. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are the good Father.